Hey everyone, welcome back to the Delta Flyers with Tom and Harry. As we journey through episodes of Star Trek Voyager, your two hosts along this journey are myself, Garrett Wong, and my co-host, Mr. Robert Duncan McNeil.
Hello, Garrett.
What is your background?
I thought I'd do like a hello, Johnny, like old Ed McMahon used to do on The Tonight Show, for those old enough to remember.
Do it again.
Hello, Garrett. Something like that.
Oh, hello, Robbie. Okay, we got that out of the way.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now let's talk about your background. What is going on?
That's the Tonight Show theme. I was just doing that. That is my background. The Delta Flyer. It's a like a breakdown. I guess a cross section. Look at you,
dude. I felt so inadequate. So I'm gonna put the Delta Flyer on mine too.
Look at you, the Delta Flyer. It's all about, and we got our Delta Flyers podcast hats on today.
Are you wearing your, well, you always wear the hat.
Yeah, I wear this hat all the time. I rep this thing everywhere. I just started filming about a week and a half ago on Turner and Hooch. I'm directing this second episode of the new series. Josh Peck is the star, who's a big social media and podcast personality. He had a podcast called Curious with Josh Peck that was, you know, millions and millions of downloads. And so he asked me about the hat, and I started sharing our little growing, ever-growing podcast details with him. I mean, I was really excited to share with him all the things we're doing, the community that we're building, the Patreon group, our Facebook group, our what's the other thing that we
Discord,
all the groups that are connecting and the people that are connecting, you know, like Stephanie Baker, our good friend up in Seattle, who's part of our Delta Flyers family, and she was planning to go to a convention this year for the first time in her life. And with COVID, was unable to do that. And this, our Delta Flyers community, has really been a great way for her to get to know the Star Trek fandom and the Voyager family specifically. And, you know, I'm just really proud of it, really excited for what we're doing. So, yeah.
Stephanie Baker had all these plans to go out to Las Vegas and you know, see the 25th. I know.
Your memory's not the first thing to go is your memory.
You're right. And so then she decided that this was a good investment of her time and money by joining the Patreon Delta Flyers family, which is so wonderful. We thank her so much. She's part of the Admirals tier. So she's a tippy top of these subscribers. So we're very thankful for that.
We got most of our people are in at like $3 or $5 a month and getting all kinds of great opportunities. So but mostly I'm just excited about, for me, as you know, I've kind of went off on my directing and producing career for a long time. Mm-hmm. And this has been this pandemic and this podcast coming out of that has honestly been such a great way for me to kind of reconnect with my roots on Voyager and Star Trek and reconnect with our friends and our castmates, getting them on some bonus interviews and content and recaps and all kinds of things. It's been a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Can I do a little show and tell here?
Yeah.
This is a gift. This is a gift from one of our Patreon patron subscribers. Andrea Ross sent me this.
Oh my gosh.
And as you can see, this says, "He was like no other, hair straight and raven black, eyes bright with fierce fire, the burning gaze of a hero." These are the lines that were spoken during the episode where the doctor
ends up in
Heroes and Demons. And the doctor comes across this beautiful Viking shield maiden, and she describes Harry Kim as these letters. So So thank you, Andrea Ross, for
Andrea, that's amazing. Yeah.
It's really cool. Unfortunately, the T and H are kind of coming off a little bit. I'm going to try to glue those back on. Get and I was going to wear it until I saw that, but I wanted to show people. She chose the same colors that the Detroit Lions seem to go for. The blue, that sort of Detroit blue with the
silver.
One
of my favorite teams.
There you go. There you go. Yes. So that's the show and tell for today.
That's very cool, Andrea. That is such a sweet... Everybody in this community is so sweet, and getting to know new people and make new friendships has been awesome. That's such a great gift. And that was such a great episode. That recap episode was so much fun to do.
Yes, it was. Yeah. And speaking of episodes, this week, guess what? We're recapping one of the most famous Tom Paris episodes ever.
I am so excited. I'm so excited. I've been looking forward to this for weeks, if not months, because, you know, this episode Threshold is arguably the most hated / controversial episodes ever made in Star Trek. It's one of the top 10, I'm sure, of all time hated controversial episodes. And I've always been a bit defensive of this episode because I remember having a great time making this episode. As an actor, I got to act like chew the scenery and go big. And I remember looking at Elephant Man, the movie. It was a play that I always loved. I saw as a teenager. I felt like this is Tom Paris's Elephant Man episode. Like he's turning into this, you know, everybody thinks they're scared of him and he, They think he's so scary and ugly, but he thinks he's evolved. And I don't know. I just had a great time making it, but boy, is it! It pushes people's buttons when it comes up at conventions.
Yes, it does. It does. I'm not gonna say that it's one of the top. I don't even think that it's in the top 10 worst episodes of all time Trek. I don't put that there. So I'm gonna side with you. I'm gonna put it outside of the top 10 worst episodes. Come on now. And I really do feel like it has to do with the fact that final shot of you as a lizard or salamander, of Janeway as a salamander going into the swamp, and then the little lizard salamander babies that you guys had. I think that shot is what makes everyone go like, ugh. That's the only thing. I
mean, so if you haven't seen Threshold, go watch Threshold.
Go watch Threshold.
Right at the end, pause it. Just turn it off before the last scene.
Never watch the ending scene, and then you'll be good.
Just turn it off. Yeah.
And then you'll be good. All right, so let's go watch this. And
I can't wait to rewatch it. And and also, I just want to mention before we go back and watch the episode and come back for a recap. At the end of our recap, we're gonna talk about some contests we have coming up. We've got some giveaways, and that's gonna be a lot of fun. We're gonna start having some contests as part of the Delta Flyers. So stay tuned at the end of the recap for that information. And let's go watch some salamanders.
Sounds good. Hey guys, we are back from watching Threshold.
The most controversial episode of Voyager ever. At least for me at conventions, I gotta say.
Okay.
It comes up all the time.
It does. But I'm going to say right now, as bad as we were talking, you know, the reputation of this episode, after watching it, I really liked it. It's crazy.
It's funny because I always defended it at the conventions. People are like, how do you feel about, you know, being the star of the worst episode of America? And I'm always like, it's not that bad. Like, and then I watched it. I was like, I don't know. I see.
Yeah.
There's some, Yeah, but I still will say I do defend, like, I thought Tom Paris's writing and what I was given to do was really fun for me as an actor.
Definitely. As an actor, this is the most that you've had to do in any episode up until this episode,
absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
By far. Yeah, because let's face it, we're used to, yes, ma'am, you know, and you heading here, you know, and that's it. Aye, Captain, it's bridge stuff, random stuff with Delaney's sister, whatever, you know, I mean, not the Lady Sisters, but, you know, we're talking about this and that and just kind of being buddy-buddy, but
like
now...
Like B story, C story, D story kind of stuff.
All sometimes appetizers.
Sometimes I don't even come into episodes. Paris didn't come into episodes until 30 minutes in. And this time I was given an opportunity as an actor really do a lot of operatic things, you know, I mean, really big emotions. And so on that score, I was very happy to rewatch it and very surprised. I did not, even though this comes up at every convention, I hadn't seen it since it was made. So I don't think so. I had twisted stories around in my head of like what it was about and what happened. And so it was really fascinating to look at it again and see what it really was.
So that was
fun.
Let's begin, as we always do, with our synopsis. Mm-hmm. You have a limerick, I have a haiku.
Okay, here's my limerick. Let me find it down here. Limerick for Threshold, Season 2, Star Trek Voyager. Tom went faster than 10. His tongue fell out, and then he kidnapped Janeway, made sweet, sweet love the same day, then had some lizard baby children. I couldn't quite find the rhyme at the end. Tom went faster than 10. His tongue fell out, and then he kidnapped Janeway, made sweet, sweet love the same day, and then had some baby lizard baby children. I don't know.
I like it. And I'm going to say this from now on, when I meet someone on the plane, I'm going to say, so do you have any children? I'm going to pronounce children as well.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to force it to get the rhyme and the limerick, you know, you got to.
You do. You know, I still want to do the Thomas Eugene Paris in the Alexander Hamilton song. I still want to do that. Like, we talked about that a while ago, but to change the lyrics, you know, Alexander Hamilton, Thomas Eugene Paris, it could still fit. So you got to squeeze it a little bit. Yeah, you just squeeze it in. That's what you did. Children, Paris.
Children. Give me a haiku. Hit me with a haiku.
I'm going to hit you with a haiku right now. Paris breaks warp 10, morphs into a new life form, mates with the captain.
It's the same theme as my limerick.
It is.
It's the same beats, short and sweet. Short and
sweet.
It's all about breaking the barrier and then having some babies.
It is.
That's story really by what Michael life's DeLuca. About, right?
Yes, it is. Story by Michael DeLuca. Teleplay by Brandon Braga. Directed by Alex Singer. I don't remember Alex directing this, but...
I didn't remember who directed it either. I had to go back because I missed the credits. And I got 10 minutes in and I was like, wait, I got to go back. Who directed this again? Alex Singer directed it. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because Alex, who I adored, very old school director, very kind of simple and straightforward. And I felt as I watched the episode, like, it was pretty simple and straightforward in its direction. Camera didn't move a whole lot. You know, it felt a little, I wouldn't say old fashioned, but classic. Like, there was nothing edgy about the direction. There was no extremely tight shots or horror movie moments or stylish camera. It was very simple.
Very straightforward.
Straightforward. Right? Let the actors, you know, say the words and tell the story. So, but I loved Alex. He was such a sweet, sweet man. Great energy to have on set.
Right. Well, since you're talking about Alex and the directing style, there was one point when you actually break the threshold, you break the warp 10 barrier.
Yeah.
And I'm in the bridge and I go, yes. And that yes that I have, the lighting on me is completely different from all my other close-ups on the bridge.
Wow. Like
before and after. And I thought, was that second unit? Did I go yes so vigorously that they were like, that's way too emotional. You know, you put way too much into that. And I'm wondering if that
they
was
shot it on another day or did it pick
they
up?
Shot it, yeah. Yeah. Cause I did get memos. I remember the first and part of the second season. I do remember getting a few memos saying you need to reshoot this in second unit. You put too much emotion into it. So maybe, I don't know if that was one of the scenes or not, but I do notice there was a weirdness or it wasn't, you know, the same lighting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The scene in the mess hall in the very beginning, Paris, Torres, Neelix joins in on the conversation.
Yeah.
And well, he's...
Before we get to the mess hall, go to the very first scene where Paris is in a shuttle. He's trying to fly and break the warp barrier. And all of a sudden things white out and you think, oh my God, he's dying. And then it cuts to the holodeck. There you and B'Elanna are. And it pans over slowly. And there's Paris sitting on the floor of the holodeck. He crashed the program, obviously. But my question is, how did I end up in that very kind of odd seated position? If the thing crashed and blew up, I'm just sitting there with my knee up and my arm on my knee. I'm like, you know, maybe I should have been like laying down or recovering from the crash or something. I'm just sort of casually sitting on the floor.
You know, are you doing a do-over right now? Are you trying to tell me that you should have been more? You should have been more like a Wile E. Coyote, sort of like, you know, you should have been splayed across with
something. You know, as it panned over, it should have been like rolling over or something. But instead, I was just sort of sitting there, like, I guess that didn't work. I don't know.
Yeah, I think if you were just face planted onto the, you know, if you were just lying just on your stomach with your hands out and your legs in wild positions,
it might have been funnier. It might have been
Or if you were thrown up against a corner of the holodeck, you know what I'm saying? Like you're like in some corner all in a crumbled mess. So that would have been. But you were very relaxed and posed, like you were doing a shoot for a magazine or something.
I don't know how they let me get away with that. Who chose that casual position anyway? You were talking about the mess hall. So,
you know, just a mess hall, you know, and I got to be honest. The first time I watched this, I actually watched this episode twice. And the first time I watched it, I could not focus on the scene because I kept staring at your hair and my hair. Your hair in the front, the little looked exactly like the original Hawaii Five-O. Remember Hawaii Five-O when we were kids? That one, not the new crappy one. The new one's the old original one.
Yeah.
The intro scene to it, you always see that wave, you know, that, and it was that wave in the ocean. And that's
what the Hawaii Five-O hair.
You're the Hawaii Five-O wave on your hair. Okay. And mine was so poofy. It looked like a piece of pastry or a crisscross bun is what my hair looked like. And it was very, very distracting for me. And it took me a few viewings to watch this.
I did notice some inconsistencies with hair in this episode all around.
Yeah.
But
at one point your sideburns, did you notice they curled at one point? And I was like, what's going on?
Well, my sideburns, as we've said before, my sideburns were little miniature wigs. I didn't grow sideburns. And so they had these little sideburns that they would place on the side in the triangle.
That's right.
The biggest part of my makeup every day was getting the sideburns put
on. The burns put on.
Glued on. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was interesting that Neelix, you know, Harry, it's a team effort going on, which I loved. Mm-hmm. I always love when our show, when characters are working in teams and all the characters are involved. So I love that.
Yeah.
I thought Neelix coming over, and we're all sort of making fun of him.
Yeah.
And then he ends up being the one who cracks it. He's the one that talks about a dark matter bow wave that he had experienced.
Dark matter bowel movement?
Neelix is the genius here because he talks about the dark matter bow wave.
Yeah.
That leads Paris to go, aha, wait a minute, the ship is actually being torn from the nacelles. The nacelles aren't being torn from the ship. And Paris even says, Neelix, you're a genius.
Yes. Now, did you notice his reaction to me was very defensive? But his reaction to you being a bit dismissive of him, he's actually very nice to you. But to me, he's like, I'll have you know, I was an engineer, blah, blah, blah. But then he was like, okay. So,
but B'Elanna, when she's leaving, she kind of gets a little attitude like, sure, go tell the idiot about it. You know, he's picking up on everybody's kind of dismissing him.
Yeah. It's very funny how once we get the info from Neelix and discover the solution, we just run out of there. We don't even tell Torres. We leave her.
We leave Torres.
In a mess hall.
And by the way, you know what we missed out on?
Yeah.
After Neelix says the dark matter bow wave and we start, you and I start ping-ponging back and forth. Well, what about this? And what about that? And what about this?
Warp particles. Yes, we should have did that.
We could have had a warp particles moment.
God dang it.
I know. Missed opportunity.
That was our warp particles moment, but we didn't say it like that,
though. Yeah, I wish we had said it.
That would have been cute. There is comedy in this one, though.
There is.
Now, I want to bring up your pronunciation of nacelle. You just said nacelle just now, but in the episode, you say nacelles.
Nacelles.
You don't say nacelle. You say nacelles. And now I bring that up because it's important. I think this is a turning point for your character because nacelles, you're pronouncing it the way B'Elanna says her name, B'Elanna. So it's sort of like this is the beginning of the Paris-Torres connection.
I felt the same way. I felt she comes into sick bay. You don't come into sick bay to check on me.
No.
She comes into sick bay. Yeah.
Where the hell is Harry, by the way? I don't know what happened.
I don't either.
It's just so
my
annoying.
Best buddy. When I turn into a lizard.
No. Nope,
just disappears.
Just gone.
So I also forgot until rewatching this episode that the reason the reason that Tom Paris is trying and the team with Harry and B'Elanna are trying to break the warp 10 barrier is so that we can get home faster. That completely all these years slipped my head, slipped my mind.
Yeah.
I was like, in my memory, it was like, oh, this is just a Paris ego trip trying to break the warp 10 barrier. But the reason we're also involved and the captain is willing to risk things is it could mean breaking that warp 10 barrier gets us out of the Delta Quadrant and back home much, much faster. So that was a detail I'd forgotten.
Right. Well, that's one of the reasons. But in this episode, we learned that the other reason is really you wanted to show your father that you had done something with your life.
I think that gets revealed. The character's motivation gets revealed, but it's not the plot point at this early on is we're doing this to try to get home faster.
Correct. And I think that we should use this as our terminology. Crossing the transwarp threshold or breaking the transwarp threshold.
Yeah.
And we could use this when we talk about any characters that are giving extra 110% or something like, Neelix totally broke the transwarp threshold. This is something that
I think podcast. Everyone should be using this expression. Someone breaks through to some new skill, you're working out and you're trying to run the, break the 10 minute mile or whatever. It's like you broke through the transwarp threshold.
Yeah.
I think so.
Like I just read some human interest story that, oh my gosh. Who's Mark Wahlberg's older brother?
Donnie.
Yeah. Donnie, the one that's married to, the blonde,
Jenny.
Jenny McCarthy. Yeah. He tipped a waitress $2,020 on a $65 bill at a IHOP or something like that.
Wow.
And so he's like the hashtag 2020 tip challenge. So he, because it's 2020 being such a crappy year, he's tipping these waitresses $2,020. So in that regard, if we're talking about what we just talked about, he broke the transwarp threshold.
Yes, he did with the IHOP tips. Yes, he did.
Unbelievable.
I also didn't remember this, but in rewatching that we had found a new form of dilithium in an asteroid field that we surveyed last month. That's why this breaking the transwarp threshold is a possibility for the first time because of this new form of dilithium. So
because it will continue to hold its it will be stable at higher speeds, this new dilithium that we find. Yeah, and I didn't remember that either.
I didn't remember it. So the next scene, we go into the briefing room where our team, Harry, B'Elanna, and Tom, are pitching to the captain, let's do this. I thought that scene was so cheesy when
really
Janeway goes, you'll be like Neil Armstrong and Orville Wright and Zefram Cochrane and Tom Paris. It was super cheese. It was rocket sauce super cheese to me. I thought that scene, and I don't know if it was our performances, all of us, I like the sound of that. It was one of my lines or something. I thought Janeway's was, sometimes she, Kate was given some speeches that are not how people talk. It's very formal, and that one to me was one of those examples of like, I wish we could have just had a simpler version that didn't have to feel like such a speech in there. I don't know.
Wow.
That felt a little cheesy to me.
So you're ordering a side of cheese with that briefing room scene.
Yes, I am. Double cheese. Double extra
double
cheese.
Side of cheese with that. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't get that, but all right. I can see how you feel that way, though. All
right. It felt very speechy. You know, it's like if characters are going to have speechifying, then there should be some emotional connection behind it. And I just didn't feel like there was much of that. It was all very speechifying in that scene. We were speechifying about, you know, breaking the threshold and thing. We were speechifying about science, and then she was speechifying about history, and it just all became speechify.
Gotcha. All right.
So then you find Tom in a bathrobe. Let's talk about that for a minute.
First time ever seeing Tom Paris in a bathrobe.
Yeah. I mean, maybe because I'm not a bathrobe person. Like, even when I go to a nice hotel and there's maybe a bathrobe there, I just never, bathrobes are not my thing.
Right.
Like, I don't know why. Part of it could be I'm a little taller. I'm, you know, almost 6'1". I'm a little taller. And whenever I put on a bathrobe, it always feels short to me. It's never long enough. So I feel like I'm wearing a mini skirt or something. I don't know. Okay. I'm just not a bathrobe guy. So I wish I wasn't wearing a bathrobe in that scene.
I think they gave you an extra large bathrobe. It looked like a pretty big bathrobe.
It covered a lot. It was a big bathrobe.
Yeah.
I just don't understand why Tom Paris had to be in a bathrobe. What the hell was he doing before she walked in that required a bathrobe? And let's just leave it at that. I don't even want to know what he might have been doing.
She walked right in, by the way.
She just walked in. Like, who knows? I could have been, who knows what I could have been doing in a bathrobe.
Okay. Don't go there. Don't go there. Do you think that they had you as shirtless and you told them, I'm not going to be shirtless. I need something on. They gave you a bathrobe. Do you remember that?
I never liked being shirtless. This was not my thing. But right. I feel like back at that point in the show, they were making me work out. So I felt like I was certainly younger and more in shape than I am now. But I don't know.
This is the first time that we see your chest hair.
Uh-huh.
Did you notice that?
I did notice that. Showing some skin in a bathrobe. All I could think about is, why is he in a bathrobe?
Well, you know, what we do know is you have good chest hair. It's not that really just Chewbacca chest hair. You don't have that.
It's just a little touch.
Just enough to show that you're a man.
Okay. It's kind of like my beard right now. Beard to show I'm not all estrogen. Okay.
The first time that I watched, I told you I've watched it twice. The first time I watched it, I felt that there were some weird romantic undertones in that scene, especially when you're like, please, please, Captain. And she's like, good luck. At the very end, it was just so much. She gets up to about, she's going to kiss you. But then the second time I watched it, I didn't see any of that. It was really weird. Like, that's the thing about these episodes. Like, sometimes you see one angle of it. Other times you don't see it at all. So did you feel that? Did you?
I didn't feel as much as I watched it that the characters were romantically connecting. I did feel like, again, that my favorite thing about my memory of this episode and the rewatch was the writers gave Tom Paris a lot of vulnerability, a lot of levels, a lot of range. I thought in this scene there were elements of frustration and anger that this opportunity was going to be taken away from him. By the way, she says in that scene, I think Harry should pilot this.
Yeah.
And Paris goes, yeah, Harry can do it, but I need to do it. I want to do it. But I thought it was interesting that you were the number two guy to pilot the warp. You know, you could have broken the warp 10 barrier, which I thought was very interesting.
Oh, yeah.
I liked the scene from a character point of view. As I like this whole episode, there was a lot of backstory to Tom and a lot of detail and kind of, it was a turning point. I think this
episode. And I think maybe the first time that you've had a tinge of jealousy towards Harry when she made the announcement that I would be doing that flight. You're kind of like, what?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
You got angry. You were not happy about that.
Yeah, he was angry, and then he was vulnerable. And so it was, yeah. And I would say that, you know, he had a lot of passion that he wanted to do this, that it was personal to him. Mm-hmm. And I made a note in here. I said, I relate to a lot of these Paris emotions, that feeling like, you know, in my life, I think I, as I grew up, we moved around a lot. I didn't personally in my real life. I didn't have a lot of long-term friends as a child because we moved every other year. Mm-hmm. And I often felt, because we were moving and I had to meet new kids and new friends and new schools and all that, I often felt that I had to prove something to people, like, you know, to fit in somewhere.
Yeah.
And so as I was listening to that scene, that sort of came back into my mind of, there were a lot of qualities about Tom over the years that I related to. But that one in particular, that scene where he's talking about, you know, I feel like I have to prove something. I was like, oh yeah, I can relate to that. And I felt like I was bringing a lot of personal connection to this episode as an actor. I noticed that.
Yeah.
So yeah. That was one moment.
That scene at the end, there's a tie-in to the pilot episode, Caretaker, for me. When she tells you the statistics behind the chances of you having a brain hemorrhage, she says 2%. Mm-hmm. And then you respond, 2%. And it's the same energy and same cadence and tone of voice that you had in the pilot when she's recruiting you to come on Voyager. And you're like, oh, hell, I'm the best pilot you can have. Like that. That line was
the same when kind
went,
of reading.
It was the same thing, right? When you went 2%, I expected you to say right after 2%, I'm the best pilot you could have. Like that, exactly like you did in the pilot. So that was like a trip down memory lane for me, hearing you say that. It just reminded me of that.
That's so funny. Much.
Yeah.
So Janeway agrees, go do it. And so we have a shot from the back of the Voyager. As the shuttle exits out of, I think the note I said was, we don't usually see the shuttles come out of the butt of the ship.
That's where it always comes out of, Robbie.
But we don't usually see a shot of it coming out that way. It looked like it was coming out of the butt. And then it sort of turned around and took off at warp. And then the Voyager took off at warp after.
That's right.
It was just a kind of shot I don't remember seeing often on our show. You know, sometimes you'd see the shuttle flying away from the Voyager, but you didn't actually see the exit of the butt of the ship.
Okay. My note was that you were doing kind of that hot dog piloting move. You shot it around. You know, I saw that, but it didn't really. But you're right. We don't typically see the shuttle coming out of the shuttle hangar bay, right? So
if you want to call the shuttle hangar bay, I call it the butt of the ship.
You call it the butt. Yeah, you can call it that. But I would say that this is the first time we've named a shuttle. Am I right? It's a shuttlecraft Cochrane. It's like we don't call shuttles names, right?
No.
This is because we usually crash so many and trash so many shuttles that we don't.
They're all very generic. Names. Yeah.
Yeah. You can't.
All right. So warp 10 is achieved.
Yes.
I did feel like some of the warp 10 flying work, I wish the camera had been shaking more. I felt like you were watching me, like, you know, watching Tom Paris sitting in a seat bouncing around, but the ship didn't feel like it was shaking.
No.
There was something disconnected about the way the shot was filmed. Often the camera is, you know, we got that shake video as we talked about early on in the series, teaching us how to shake when the ship is under attack and things. Mm-hmm. This felt like one of those moments. The camera should have been shaking, the actor shaking, the lights flashing, and it was a little underwhelming.
Yeah, a little bit. Did Alex Singer, the director, did he direct you to put that physicality into the breaking of the warp 10? Because you sort of do this thing where you physically, you're there and you go warp 9.9, warp 10, and you kind of fall back into your seat a little
bit.
Like there's some extra push of like turbo once you hit 10. Was that you, or is that the director that said, okay,
I don't remember. I don't remember.
Fall back in. Okay.
I mean, you know, like I do, that as actors, often we come in there and the director will give us some things, but not a lot usually.
Right.
And then we'll do things. And the hope is that the director has some good ideas that I didn't think of, that mm-hmm. I'll have some good ideas that the director didn't think of.
Yeah.
And together we'll make the best version. But you always hope that somebody, the director, the cameraman or somebody, is sort of protecting you, going, ah, that looks goofy, or don't, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but I don't know. I don't know if he said, you know, shake a little, or, you know,
right,
sit back when you hit warp, break warp 10. I can't recall.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now, you see, when you disappear, you see how concerned I was? You see how concerned Kim was that you disappeared? Yeah. There was an actual acting there and concern over my best buddy disappearing.
Yeah.
Which obviously doesn't come into play later.
To sick bay.
That's my point.
Yeah. It's like, that's it? Okay. All right.
All right, man. You're turning into a lizard. I need to find a new best friend. See ya, is what I did.
I understand. That was weird. All right. So Paris wakes up from his acid trip.
Yep. By the doctor yelling.
I loved it, by the way, when he's like, Captain goes, can you wake him? You know, very serious. Can you wake him? After the doctor explains all the problems, and she's like, wow, can you wake him? And he says, I don't see why not. And then there's a beat. Wake up, Lieutenant! It's very funny.
It was, because we're expecting he's going to use a hypo spray or something to bring you, you know, to consciousness, but he doesn't. He just screams in your ear.
It was funny. There's some funny stuff in that, in the sick bay there with was. The doctor, from the doctor and Paris too. I think both of them wakes up from his acid trip, you know, being part of everything in the universe. I remember the description of that was really fun to play. It was very like, I was everywhere and part of everything, whatever.
Yeah.
Just having, again, as an actor, given that kind of language that's very kind of theatrical and almost poetic in a way.
Yeah.
Was really fun to play. So it was fun to watch those scenes, see the comedy in there, see some of the roller coaster that Paris was going through.
Yeah.
I love the doctor's description after this passionate, you know, poetic description of, you know, almost spiritual connection to everything, and he goes, well, I'm glad you had some fun.
Yeah. Sounds like you had a good time.
Yeah, sounds like you had a good time. Yeah, glad you had a good time.
Oh my god.
Alana does come in. It looks like she loves me. She comes to visit and see. So
she touched your leg. I noticed that. She touched your leg when she was leaving. I was like, is that the beginnings?
That is. I think this is the beginnings, honestly.
Yeah, I do too. 5 billion gigaquads of information.
Yeah.
That's what we downloaded. How much is a gigaquad? Good Lord. There's a new blend of coffee called Paris Delight.
Paris Delight.
That just, that's wrong. That's just, that name is wrong. I'm sorry.
I think it's
that
so,
to me,
it's
Robbie.
It's so right. It's so
that
right.
To, no, that to me sounds like you're working at a male bunny ranch, sort of like you know, where prostitution is legal
like
in parts of Nevada.
Paris Delight?
Yeah. I'd like to choose the Paris Delight on the menu, please. I'll take the Paris Delight. This guy right here.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
I love that there's a new blend of coffee, that it seems like we've, you know, conquered something, and now we're going to analyze the data. Everything's going to be good. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly in the mess hall, Paris starts gasping or falls over. And I got to say, the veins appeared awfully quickly. Like it went it went from, oh, I'm on top of the table sitting up, to, oh, I just fell on the floor and now I've got veins all over my neck and face. It just sort of happened off camera.
Yeah.
Which I have another scene later that happens off camera that I just feel, I was like, yeah. Oh God. But anyway.
Do you recall if those veins were CGI or was that makeup?
It was makeup. That was okay. Definitely makeup. I really love that makeup because it was very horror movie. We carried that makeup into the sick bay. I remember there was some scheduling that we had to do there. I think the way we did it was we like started on my coverage at the table, and then we went to Bellana's coverage so that they could start doing, and they may have even used a photo double so they could, because putting on that makeup took a while, or we may have gone away and come back. I can't recall. But those little things, as we're filming, if you think about the planning and logistics, we had to film all the coverage without veins. And then I had to go away for an hour and a half or whatever it took to put that makeup on.
Get veins.
Come back and pick up on the floor with that part of the scene. So there's a good chance we probably filmed the top part. I fell out of the frame. I do remember it being some logistics. And then I went to get the makeup on and they probably shot another scene.
And then I came back
and we finished the scene on the floor with the makeup on.
Yeah, but it almost looks like they did something to your eyes. Did you get any contacts for that?
I remember a lot of red. They would put, they would blow menthol into my eyes.
Oh.
So my eyes were very bloodshot. They would sort of blow through this plastic thing, menthol, that irritates the eyes and waters them up and makes them bloodshot. And then there was a lot of red eyeliner so that it looked very sick and horror movie-like.
Wow. That seems like something that they would do at a rave, but they actually blew the menthol into your eyeballs to make them bloodshot. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
I loved back in sick bay with the veins on my head, the Paris backstory. You know, there was a lot of rambling in that scene. It was a very long scene and a lot of him sort of being, you know, delusional and rambling about his childhood and, I thought it was interesting, a lonely childhood. The fact that he lost his virginity at 17 came up in his rambling when his parents were out of town.
That's huge. We now know when you lost your virginity.
Yeah.
That's big.
I laughed out loud when he exploded with the outburst of pepperoni pizza.
Yeah.
I'd kill for some pepperoni.
You don't say pizza. You just yell pepperoni first.
Pepperoni.
Like that.
Yeah.
It's so random.
And the doctor, I thought, you know, the roller coaster and the delusional outbursts and the doctor's responses. I thought the scene was very funny. He wants a kiss from Kes. I made a note. Hasn't he learned yet? Kes and Neelix are a couple. Why are they throwing in another, trying to get Kes to kiss him? But he's delusional. I give him a pass.
He is. You're missing an important part of that scene on the sick bay bed there.
Go ahead.
You're missing when you talk about how you cried a lot as a kid. And that how your father said crying is weakness, you know? Yeah. And it's interesting because the minute that came up, it just reminded me of something that I saw on social media. There was a writer who wrote a piece about how she always tries to tell her son that it's okay to cry, you know, because a lot of times you hear boys don't cry. And I was told that by my parents, you know, by my mother when I was young. And I remember arguing with her going, that's wrong. That's wrong. And the truth is, you should be able to cry as a male, you know what I'm saying? You shouldn't. And so this woman wrote a piece on how she's raised her son, and she showed her son, the CNN host, what's his name? Let's see. I think it's Van Johnson.
Oh yeah.
When he was,
I saw this piece.
See the piece then. Okay.
I saw the Van, I can't think of his last name right now.
Yeah.
Van Johnson maybe, or
that's what I thought it was.
Anyway,
but this was when he was getting all emotional and he started crying after the election results came in. Right.
Yeah.
And so that to me was very timely just to watch that. And it reminded me of that and how we need to be very, very aware of what we say to our children in terms of, you know, their emotions and acknowledging their emotions and allowing them to have emotions, you know.
I think that Paris, Tom Paris as a character, what I love about him, and a lot of people say this, is the transformation he went through from start to finish. That he really had the biggest character arc and the character growth of most of the characters. And because he came into the series kind of embodying a lot of toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
Over-sexualized, lots of ego and bravado, bragging, isolation, without friends, unreliable. Mm-hmm. I mean, go down the list of, of masculine qualities we might consider toxic masculinity. Right. And he embodied all of those things.
Yeah.
So to see the growth in that character and the change, I think is really, was rewarding for me as an actor, you know?
Yeah. And this is truly the transition point for Paris, because now that he's gone to Warp 10 and he's been everywhere at once and he's seen himself outside of his body, you know, I think that you see the vestiges of the toxic masculinity in even in this scene, because you're like in the rambling, you're like lots of pretty girls crying, which is back to your like, hey, let me be the man, you know, the man's man. And let me romance as many of these women as I can. Right. And you're saying lots of pretty girls crying, but then you go like, crying, my father says it's a weakness, but I don't trust anybody who doesn't cry. And you talk about Torres doesn't cry. So it's almost like you're saying that, you know, you don't trust her. But I do feel that this is definitely a transitional phase for Paris to become more of a complete human being, for sure, this episode.
Yeah, I think that's very well put. Mm-hmm. I did remember in that scene, as I was losing my ability to breathe, I don't know if you remember, but I had pretty bad asthma when we were doing Voyager the first few years. Do you remember my inhaler I used to use? You don't remember?
No.
Oh, I would be down front. Wow. I'd use my, you don't remember when I was hospitalized for asthma and they had to change the schedule? Maybe you weren't aware of why they changed it.
No.
Yeah. Mary Howard, the producer, came to the hospital to check on me, which I thought was lovely. I used to have very bad asthma in my 20s and early 30s and through my mid 30s.
Wow.
I had gone to the hospital a couple of times with asthma attacks that I could not control with my inhaler and things like that.
Oh goodness.
So, okay. When I was doing that scene where I was losing the ability to breathe, I remember, you know, imitating my most severe asthma attacks. And I remember as I watched that, I remember listening to the way I was breathing, and I remember when I was shooting the scenes, it's almost like my body, as I was acting the, you know, I can't breathe, my body started, I remember getting triggered.
Oh, wow.
Like I started having the anxiety and the tightness in my chest for real, because I was, I was mimicking my asthma attacks, and my body just started going, oh, okay, let's do the asthma attack thing.
Oh my gosh.
So as I watched that scene, I remember going, oh, I remember that. And I had my inhaler on set, but you know,
how did you overcome that? How did you overcome your asthma issues?
Because
you don't have an inhaler now, right?
No, I haven't used an inhaler since about 2014 is the last time I've really, so it's been about 6 years or so.
Yeah.
There's a lot of mine was stress related, anxiety related, I think.
Okay. Wow.
And my life has gotten a lot calmer in the last 5 years or so. So
yes, it has. Wow.
So, I've started meditating more and all kinds of things, that asthma moment was a flashback for me.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What's next?
Oh, well, I was just going to say, after Kes kisses you on the cheek, that's a nice moment, because you did say last request you wanted to kiss, but then you were dead when she kissed you. And then I fully expected Neelix to have an argument with her afterwards, being jealous. And then she's looking at Neelix going, Neelix, he's dead. You cannot be jealous of a dead person. I wanted her to have that scene, but that didn't happen.
I forgot that I died rewatching this. When I died,
I did too.
Oh my God, I forgot that he died.
Well, now you're the second series regular die. I die in season one in Emanations, and then you, being my buddy, die in the second season. So we're the first two to die on Voyager, if you look at it that way.
I think
when you reach back for your hair,
that's
true. You reach back for your hair. I swear to God, I thought you were going to pull your ear off.
I did too. Like, oh my God. Like, what? I couldn't remember.
Is his ear going to come off? Oh no, please.
I did remember my tongue came out eventually, which we saw that later. But
yes.
But I thought the ear might come off too, which I wish, I think would have been better. But,
yeah. I have another question for you. On that graphic in the sick bay, when the doctor looks on screen and he talks about you have two hearts now, and it shows that little graphic of two hearts. Did visual effects take a picture of you shirtless? Because that is that is your torso. That is you.
That was a photo that then they added the X-ray parts.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, they did take a picture of you there. Okay. Cool. Yep. Rafael Sabarge, our friend Rafael, contacts the Kazon in the next scene.
Yeah.
The sick bay scene with Janeway when she comes in, that's when they first do the effect where they have the little air bladders in your
tubes that went down my legs, and then they were sitting on the floor like 3 feet away from me. Literally, they were going blowing these bladder balloons. And so all I could hear inside of the rubber, I could barely hear the actors. I looked at their lips moving.
Yeah.
What I heard was like, that's what I was hearing so loud in my head, and I couldn't hear the other actors' lines. So I would watch their lips move. And then I think I may have looped or ADR'd all of that. I don't think I may have looped or re-recorded the audio for a lot of this episode with the makeup.
Right. Well, because I knew that you had the bladders, you talked about this before, I was looking for it. But if you're not looking for it, that movement is almost imperceptible, really, you know, because of, it's very subtle. So you almost have to stare at it a little bit more. And I wish that maybe there would have been a different way of filming that a different angle or something that would have shown it more. I don't know.
The experience of hearing it was very loud, but you're right. When I looked at it this time, I was like, wow, that's not as big as it sounded when I was inside of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you think kids actually flipped out while watching Voyager in that scene where your tongue comes out? Because I almost feel like it's that's like so a horror movie. It's like if I was 7 years old watching your tongue being pulled out of your mouth by yourself, I would have probably thought, so that might have been a PG-13 moment for sure, right?
That tongue was made of silicone.
Okay.
But then they put some other like jelly in my red, like jello, so that it looked like it was sort of just collapsing or falling apart. Oh. So I did have some red jello, and I had that silicone tongue, rubber tongue.
Yeah. Yeah.
That I had to get in my mouth. It was, it was a lot of stuff for that tongue coming out.
Yeah. And then every scene after that, where you were talking, you have no tongue. So then
fold it back. Yeah.
That's what you did. You did fold it back, and then when you fold it back, you don't use your tongue when you're folding it back, I guess.
Right. You can't use your tongue. Yeah.
Yeah.
They would give me some black ink to like mouthwash to mouthwash right before we filmed. So it looked like the inside of my mouth was all black. So you couldn't really see.
Oh, so they hid your tongue by giving you black ink.
Okay. Yeah. Black inky kind of mouthwash.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. All right.
Yeah. Big jump to the next level. This is the part that I just loved playing the monster, like the Quasimodo, the Hunchback of Notre Dame, like all of those, you know, poor monsters that, you know, it's Frankenstein. It's all of that classic, that classic archetype of the poor monster that no one knows what, you know, that they're afraid of or scared of or lock up. And it's like, just set me free.
That's
By the way, when he does break out and he's in engineering, I was so disappointed that his takeover that happens in engineering all happens on a view screen with a couple of phaser shots going through the air, and you hear all this noise. I'm like, are you kidding me? I had forgotten about that, but I was like, are you kidding me? Like, the monster gets set free and we play it all on a little like fake computer screen and some sound, and we don't see any of it. I'm like, you should have at least shot like him doing something, like he's got extra physical strength, or he, you know, I don't know.
I thought it was really creative though, just to see it on the view screen on that little monitor. I understand that you're disappointed with it, but my first thought was, geez, nobody is a good shot at all. Like literally, if they're right next to you, how do you miss with that phaser? Are you a stormtrooper? Are you specifically, because you know in Star Wars, stormtroopers always miss. They can't aim very well. So I kept thinking, what's going on here? No one is able to aim a phaser.
I just thought it was silly. I was like, really? What a cop out. Like we should have a big action moment where they're trying to get the monster and. And we didn't have any of that. I was very disappointed in that.
You know, it could have been comedic. You could have taken your tongue and thrown it at them, you know, or something like that. Yeah. There could have been so many things they could have done with that.
Yeah.
Shall we move on to your abduction of Janeway?
Yes.
So when that happens, I'm going, wow, Paris chest bumped Janeway.
I know.
And then Megan said, she said, he just boob checked her.
Exactly.
You boob checked.
Yeah, Tom Paris played hockey a lot. He would boob check. She manages to fire her phaser, which trigger internal sensors, but those internal sensors are malfunctioning due to the power failure.
Yeah.
So they can't locate, you know, because that was the other thing. I was like, why can't they just, like, how does he get the captain, get to a shuttle, take off, like, how does he escape? Obviously, you know, whatever happened in engineering that we didn't film was really important for his escape.
Yeah.
And we didn't film it. So no. I don't know. I found that to be a little confusing.
Yeah.
A bit of a leap of faith that he could get her off the ship so easily. They sort of skipped over all of that stuff.
Right. Right. And when you lay her down in the shuttle, what is all that strange equipment in the back there?
I don't know.
Was that something maybe the some type of dilithium converter? Wait, but did you notice there was some weird stuff that when you lay her down?
Oh yeah, there was a bunch of cases stuff. And
I don't know. It's like futuristic, you know, optometrist equipment or maybe some type of dental type of equipment is what it looked
maybe.
Like. I don't know what it was.
No. Maybe it was some replicators so they could live for a while or
maybe.
I do remember picking up Kate Mulgrew and having to lift her, and that's not an easy. I'm not saying Kate's hard to lift or any particular person's hard to lift. It's just hard. It always sounds easy until you're the one having to do it, having to lift another person and do it safely and do it over and over because we'd never do one take. So you know, I noticed that, you know, lifting Kate and having to be careful with her and probably doing multiple takes and setting her down.
It's awkward. It's just like the episode 37s when I had to, they told me, okay, Garrett, you're going to be dragging David Graff's character to safety. And I remember trying to pull this 6'4", you know, 270-pound man. And it was like, oh my God, I can't even budge him. So yeah, so that is always awkward for sure.
All right, so they take off and Voyager loses track of them because he breaks the warp 10 threshold again, gets them out of there. And I did notice just as they're going to breaking the warp 10 threshold on Janeway's face, you see the lights getting brighter.
Yep.
And you see a wonderful, like, you see that she's having the same experience that
Paris had.
You see in her face this kind of wonder. It like takes her breath away just as she fades away there.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, let's just jump to they track them down a month later, whatever it is. They beam in on this planet, this jungle planet, and they come over.
Yeah.
And there's Janeway and Paris. I don't know which was which. It does, you know, if this is human evolution, this is like where evolution has taken human beings, it seems
it's full
backwards.
Circle.
It's full circle. It's backwards. I don't know. It's, and then I think, as you said this before, like if we just didn't have the shot of the babies, if we just left that part out of the story and just let them evolve to these lizards that we had to go rescue and convert back, it probably would not have been bad. But it's having the babies. And then, by the way, Chakotay says in his log, he goes, we decided to leave the infants or whatever. I forget how to put it. We decided to leave the children.
Right.
What? Why?
Yeah, I know. Like, I know. Because if they're gonna, if the doctor uses the technology in the med in sick bay to transform you and Kate back into human, he could have used that same technology to transport the children back into humans too, right?
Yes,
I think that would have. Yeah, I will say that when they popped out of that little that little hole in the ground, the kids, they look like baby hippos to me.
Yeah, little hippos.
Yeah, they little hippopotamuses.
I think there is an action figure though of Paris as the mutated alien.
There is,
and there's a couple of little salamander babies in the packaging. Yeah. Like you get Paris in his PJs with his lizard look, and you get the little babies.
Do you get one baby, two baby, three baby? What do you get? Do you get all three?
I feel like that was two or three. I can't remember in the toy.
Yeah.
I feel like it should have been a set of Paris and Janeway.
Right.
We never really see Janeway in the makeup. So.
Huh.
Yeah.
So Tom Jr., little Katie.
Little Katie. And
Katie Jr. And who's the third one? What are you going to call him?
Zephram. I'm going to call
you
him
know
Harry.
What?
Harry Jr.
I'm going to take Tom and Catherine and just do a hybrid name. So that last baby is Tatherine.
Catherine, okay.
Or Calm.
Calm is, I like Calm better.
You like Calm? That you're going to name him Harry. You're going to name him after me, your buddy? Okay.
My buddy.
All right.
We come back. We have the awkward after sex talk. Janeway says, you know, often in some species, the female initiates sex.
Which was sounds like a flirtation to me.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Right.
I love the line when Paris says, you know what, it was incredible, but somehow it doesn't mean as much as I thought it would. And I was looking for a quick fix. I thought that said a lot to me about where his head was at and what he learned. Talking about breaking barriers and all those things. So there we are. A nice conversation with Janeway and Paris to end the episode. There we go. Very special episode, Threshold.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's your theme?
My theme, I wrote down here, my theme is that self-worth shouldn't come from proving yourself to others. That was the theme that that was my takeaway. It's like, I think what Tom learned is his self-worth can't come from the outside, can't come from achievement, can't come from breaking, you know, doing piloting things. It's got to come inside. And that the real barriers that we have to break are internal barriers within ourselves. That was my theme.
Huh.
What about you?
I think mine's just never break the trans warp threshold ever. 9.9 is fine.
It's fast enough. Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I mean, it's really, I mean, the bigger theme, I mean, if you're talking about just extrapolating from that, what I just said would probably be moderation is key, right?
Yeah.
No excessive behavior. That's going to lead you down the path of what you don't want to go down. You don't want to go down that path. So we see what happens. You turn into a salamander.
That's right. All right. all right. So before we, kind of sign off, we want to say a couple of things to everybody out there. First of all, to our patrons, our Patreon patrons, we have a very special guest coming up in our bonus segment after this. We have the mother of my children, the love of my salamander life, Kate Mulgrew, will be joining us to give her thoughts on Threshold.
As she talks about raising salamander children with Robbie McNeil.
That's right. She's going to give you the mothering tips from a salamander mom. Very excited. We haven't had Kate on the show yet. She's going to join us for just a little short talk about some of her memories of that episode. I could not let Threshold go by without involving her. So for our patrons, That'll be, you know, coming up right after this on our bonus material. But I'm so excited. Kate is going to give us her thoughts. The other thing I wanted to mention is we've got a contest coming up. And so, yeah, we have a contest. So Woo-hoo! Rebecca has created a limited edition. There are really only five of these mugs available. They're Christmas mugs with all of our kind of caricatures, the Star Trek Voyager cast caricatures in Christmas, bad Christmas sweaters and things. There are five mugs made ever. I've got one.
Limited edition.
I've got one of those mugs. Garrett's got one of those mugs. And the other three are going to be given away in contests. Mm-hmm. And those contests, we're open for submissions now.
This is a true collector's edition mug right here for all you collectors out there. Yeah. There are only five made. One belongs to Robbie, one belongs to me, and the other three are up for grabs. And just so you guys know, our email is thedeltaflyers@gmail.com.
Yes.
TheDeltaFlyers.
So TheDeltaFlyers@gmail.com. If you want any information on that, email us about it and enter the contest. Look for it on our Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook pages. But the contests are going to be a lot of fun. We've got three mugs to give away, and we'll be doing some more contests down the road. So, yeah, thanks again for listening, everybody.
Thanks so much for joining us during our recap of Threshold. And stay tuned next week when we recap the episode Meld. I like that name.
Meld. That's the Tuvok episode.
It is a Tuvok episode.
I'm excited for that one, too. We got some good episodes lately.
We have.
See you then. Thanks, guys.